I was at a restaurant in Newfoundland and got the proprietor a little upset. She asked how things were. And I said there was a problem with the food. It took my appetite away. And she all of a sudden looked startled and then realized what I meant, and then she laughed. So here we are. Our appetite's gone. Let's hope we have an appetite for the Word of God, though. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This morning we looked at chapter 16, and we noticed two words there, and we dealt with the one word this morning, and the second word was Maranatha. And that word means Jesus will come. And so that's what we want to look at this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, very familiar portion. And we're going to begin reading at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Father, again we ask that as we look at this portion of thy word and other portions that you lead us to, we do pray that we might be encouraged, and we might look forward to the coming of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for help and blessing as we take this time to study thy word, and that Christ might be honored and glorified as a result, both in what we hear and in what we do about it. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. So this evening, or this afternoon, we're going to look at Maranatha. The Lord is coming again. We often refer to it by the phrase, the rapture. And the rapture is an interesting word as well. And the rapture really doesn't appear in the Word of God per se. That word isn't there. But when we ask ourselves, what is the rapture? It simply means, it comes from the Latin word that simply means caught up. Caught up. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, we read this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the phrase. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that phrase, caught up, really in Latin would be rapture. And so what we want to do is look at that this afternoon and ask ourselves a few questions. The first one I would ask is, who will be involved with this? Well, let's turn to John chapter 14. We can ask these questions, but unless we get the answers from the Word of God, our answers don't necessarily count, right? So John chapter 14. starting to read at verse 1. Again, a very familiar portion. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and here it is, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the first person that we find is involved in the rapture is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. As he talks to his disciples here in John 14, he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he says to them, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to go, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to come again. That where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 1, starting to read at verse 9, we read, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, now this is Christ, he had spoken to them, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so here we find that the angels are talking about the fact that Christ is going to come back. And he's going to come back as they saw him go up. He's going to come back. So there's the promise, first of all, of Christ, and then it's reiterated by the angels that he is going to come back. He will be involved. Now, for the Christian, that is great. Here we are in the, I guess we're the 21st century now, and we haven't seen him with the physical eye. But one day we will. This very one is going to come back to receive us unto himself. What a joy that will be. So that Christ will be involved. But we discover from these verses and other verses that the Christian will be involved. Now that's all the Christians. Now remember, we need to identify the fact that a Christian who is one who has put their faith and trust in Christ. Right? Some claim to be Christians, but they really don't believe. Isn't it interesting? I think it was the United Church has decided that they don't have to, you know, their ministers don't have to preach Christ. They don't even have to believe in Christ. And then they call themselves Christians? That doesn't make sense. Right? But oftentimes that's the way with people, you know. Well, I was born into a Christian country, whatever that means. Well, country doesn't become a Christian. I've born into a Christian family. Well, we noticed this morning, it's an individual decision that has to be made. And so we need to be aware of that. A Christian is one who has personally put their faith and trust in Christ as their Savior. And so Paul says that all Christians are going to be involved. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, we referred to one of these verses already. Was starting to read at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, I had an experience that I taught school with a fellow who was a Christian, went to the Baptist church, and in talking to him on different occasions, he said, well, I wouldn't want to be with your group because I don't want to be an ignorant brethren. But there's a comma between those two. Okay? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, there's the word rapture, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now it's interesting, as we go through these few verses, shall is mentioned four times. You see, this is definite. This is something that we can count on because God says it's going to happen. Now, you'll notice as we go through here, he's talking to Christians. He's written the First Thessalonians to the Christians at Thessalonica. And again, he emphasizes, notice verse 13, even as others which have no hope. That's those that aren't Christians. They've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we accept him, we have this hope. Okay? Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we remember this morning that that was part of the gospel. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus, so they've accepted the gospel, they've accepted Christ as their Savior, will God bring with him. So they have passed away, they have died physically, their body has been buried, but their spirit and soul has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what Paul talks about in Philippians. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And so the part that is absent would be the spirit and the soul, and it is with the Lord. And so he brings them with him. And then in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend, and the dead, the end of that, and the dead in Christ. So that phrase indicates they've accepted Christ as Savior. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But they won't precede us, because the next verse says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Okay? So we will join them, and then together we'll meet him in the clouds. But it's talking to Christians, talking to those who have actually put their faith and trust in the Lord. So Christians will be involved. What about the non-Christians? Well, they'll be left behind. And Scripture indicates that they will be captured by a strong delusion, in spite of what that movie Left Behind says. Left Behind leaves the idea that you'll have a second chance after Christ comes. But Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches that there will not be a second chance for those who have accepted Christ or have heard the message before that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 3. We read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now notice verse 11 and 12. "For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they might be damned with who believeth not the truth, but hath pleasure in unrighteousness." And so what this is saying is, there's going to be a time when the Spirit of God is going to be taken out of the world. That's when Christ comes back for us, those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ. When he comes back, the Spirit of God who restrains the world, in spite of how rough it is and how terrible things seem today, there is a restraint on it. And once the Spirit of God is taken out, because we are gone, then mayhem will break loose. And then we discover that people will believe a lie. There'll probably be something come up, stated as to why these Christians, who they didn't want anyway, have disappeared. Whether they blame it on aliens or whether they blame it on whatever. There's all sorts of conjecture as to what that lie will be. We don't know. But nonetheless, there's going to be a lie presented as to what happened, and people will believe that. And as a result, there will be that deception scene. It's interesting, I mentioned my grandson this morning as I was talking to him. He said to me, now he's just in first year college, and he's obviously been thinking of what's going on in the world and so on. And he said to me, he said, "You know, the way things are going on in the world, it looks like the world is looking for a one world leader." And he says, "I think it's going to happen in the next 10 years. I thought, wow, he's starting to get it. And I said to him, I said, "Well, it could be even sooner than that. Things are happening, and we need to be aware. Christ shall return. Maranatha. Christ will return." And things are rushing in that direction. Well, of course, we would ask ourselves, well, When will this happen? What will happen when this takes place? Well, we notice the things that will happen brought out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All right? The first thing we discover is there's a trumpet sound. The trumpet will sound. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Along with that will be a voice, a shout. And then there will be not only the trumpet, but then there will be a transition. Because it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay, so they're going to, that body, many of them have been decayed, maybe anywhere in the world. Maybe they've drowned, maybe it's whatever. That body will come out, and their spirit will join them again because they have come back with Christ. But that body will be a new body. Oh, don't we look forward to a new body? Some of us that have a lot of pain, we just long for that. Okay, the alive in Christ will join them. And then both given this new body, like unto his body. Well, that's an interesting phrase. The body will be like unto his body. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, or our livelihood is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now the question is, what will that body be like? Well, it's hard to explain that, but there are a few clues. Okay? First of all, the physical effects of sin will be gone. The physical effects of sin will be gone. There will be the removal of the physical effects of sin and the curse. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15:54, which we've read, and we've just read Philippians 3:21, will be given a body like unto his. There's only one man in heaven that will display the marks of sin. Amazing. And that's because Christ has the marks of sin in his hands and his feet and his side. He will display that for all eternity. In fact, we go to Revelation chapter 5, and it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb," that's Christ, "as it had been slain." The idea of that word is freshly slain. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And so he will be the only one through all eternity that will display the signs of the curse of sin. Wow. He bore it for us. He bore it for us. So the physical effects of sin will be gone. Secondly, the physical effects of the world will be gone. The physical world will not have any control or effect on this new body. How do we know that? Well, if we go to John chapter 20 and verse 19, we read this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. So here's the disciples, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews. So they had been in this place, doors locked, doors were shut, fearing the fact that the Jews would come to them. And what does it say? Came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. The physical walls, the physical doors, any of those things didn't matter. He just went right through it. Went right through it. Our bodies will be such that the physical effects of the world are gone. When he comes, we're out of here. And doesn't matter where we are. We just go. The physical effects of the world are gone with this new body. Then we discover this physical body is real. It can still be handled and felt. Therefore, it's not a body of a ghost or a spirit. Remember John chapter 20 again, only this time verse 27 we read, then said he to Thomas, remember Thomas said, unless I can feel those nail prints in his hands and his feet, put my hand into his side, I won't believe. That was Thomas's comment. And so the next Sunday, the Lord appears, same way as he did the first Sunday. And he's there. And he says to Thomas, reach hither thy hand. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And so it's a physical body. It's a real body that we will be given. And then we will discover that the effects of sin is gone. This body has flesh and bones, but it does not appear to have blood. Okay? Believe it or not, eating is still an option. Eating is still an option. We like that option, right? But it appears like the Lord shed his blood, and it was the blood of the human that carried sin. Right? And so sin will be totally removed. Totally removed. Look forward to that. We won't have any of that sort of desire. And so we find the trumpet. We find the transition to this new body. And then we find that there is a togetherness, because we're going to meet him in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We're going to meet him in the clouds. We're going to be with him forever. Okay? Both John 14:3 and 1 Thessalonians 4:17 state that. We'll also be reunited with our loved ones who have previously passed away in Christ. But more importantly, we will be united with him, whom having not seen, we love. United with him. There's a movement out there today that really push the idea that Christ is King of Kings. And there's truth to that. Very definite truth. But you know what? I don't look for him as king. You say, well, you know, how heretical is that? No, I don't look for him as king. I look for him as the bridegroom. Much different relationship. Totally different relationship. With a bride and a bridegroom, there's intimacy, there's a love, a relationship. With a king and a subject, there's distance, right? So I look for him as the bridegroom, because it brings a total different perspective to his coming. And of course, that's what it is. We, as the local, as the church, universal, is his bride. Totally different relationship. And then we would think, well, what is the time frame for this? Well, it says that it's going to be very quickly. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, we can wink and that doesn't take long. But the twinkling of an eye is just that little flutter. And it's going to happen that fast. It's going to happen really fast. Someone has said that the moment is the same term from which our word atom comes. This word means indivisible and indicates that the rapture and change of our bodies will occur in an indivisible instant of time. It's just going to happen faster than that. Wow. Well, that brings up the next question. When is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? Well, it's intriguing what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. In this we find the contempt of the world, and sad to say, sometimes Christians. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting to read at verse 3. And notice what it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now what is he saying here? He says there's going to be scoffers saying, yeah, right, you talk about the coming again, the rapture, the Maranatha. They were talking about that back when the church first formed. Well, they were. And interestingly, they were expecting it back then. They were expecting Christ to come back in their day. That was part of the reason why Paul wrote some of these passages. Because the Christians were saying, well, some of our folk have passed away. They've died. And it hasn't happened yet. They're going to miss out. Paul says, no. But here Peter tells us there's going to be those that are come with that sort of talk about it. Hasn't happened yet, so forget it. It's probably not going to happen for a long time. If it happens at all. And Peter says, no, it's going to happen. There's going to be people around that are going to say that. So there's contempt as to when it's going to happen. Now, I've often said that we in Christian circles don't really believe that the Lord's coming imminently. Because if we did, we'd eat our dessert first. But in spite of that, the Lord is about to come. He's on the threshold. He's ready to come. Now, there are a number of concepts out there as to when he's going to come. And we won't have the time, we don't have the time to even go over those. But what I want to do is to talk about my conviction, and hopefully your conviction about this. It's a pre-tribulation view. Now, what do I mean by that? We read about the fact that the man of sin is going to be revealed. The man of sin, controlled by Satan, is going to be the one world empire that's going to come on this scene. But it's not going to happen. And by the way, that's going to introduce us to the tribulation period, or Daniel's 70th week. Okay? But in the meantime, it says there's a spirit that controls things now. We talked about that when we read that portion. And when he's taken out, now the Spirit of God lives within everyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ. And so when we go, then the world will have free access to do most of what they want. And so I believe that the pre-tribulation rapture is there, is when it will happen. It will happen before the tribulation period starts. Some of the reasons. Okay, there's a scene in Revelation chapter 1. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, well, chapter 1, basically John talks to the Lord. Chapter 2 and 3 talks about the different church ages. When we get to chapter 4 and verse 1, we read this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice, okay, that's interesting, which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. Remember, we read about that, about the coming of the Lord. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so that verse almost appears to be an indication of the fact of the Lord's coming. And then after that, the things that are going to happen during the tribulation period are explained. So I believe that's one indication. When we get to Revelation 6 and 17, we read, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And yet we go to 1 Corinthians and we discover there that we are not, those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ, are not going to be part of the day of wrath. And the tribulation period is called the day of his wrath. And so we're going to be delivered from that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 and chapter 5 verse 9. Okay. And there are other things, the sequence events help that. But the other thing is, it's the soon and sudden return of Christ. The early church expected him to come in their day. We're that much closer. It was imminent as far as they were concerned. It's even more imminent even now. Because of time, we won't deal with that. But just to say that his coming might be today. Now, if his coming is today, the question is, am I ready? Am I ready? Is my relationship with him right? Is my relationship with other Christians right? Is my witness to the world and my relationship with them right? Am I ready for Christ to come back? It might be today. Might not, but it could be today. Are you ready? Let's sing number 187. Just sing the first verse. Now I want to make a change in the wording. Okay? And I hope you believe in this. We get to the chorus, and it says, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening. Okay? We don't know what time of the day he's coming. But the next phrase we're going to change. It says, and maybe soon. Now, I believe it's going to be soon. And so I want us to change that to sing, and will be soon. Okay? So we're going to make that one change as we sing it. One verse only of 187. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but will be soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Father, we thank thee for the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he indeed is coming again. We do pray that we might be ready, watching and serving him, that we might bring glory unto his name, even when he comes. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.